Yes, so again, welcome, brethren, to this first day of Unleavened Bread service. It was needed and necessary that we united with brethren as we did last night for Passover. Elohim expects of us, and you can say, a perfect, our very best, always, in what we do. So there's definitely always room for improvement, no matter where we are in our efforts to serve Him, right? So there's always room, and we will continue to strive to do better, to offer that perfect sacrifice without blemish to Elohim, which is the principle behind, that's one of the principles behind the Zabaim, not just animals, but all sacrifices that were made during the first covenant times through Moses and the Levites. The idea that your sacrifice must be without blemish, that you must offer your first fruits, that you must, and so on, implies that Elohim expects the best, that the temple is to be kept holy, that the altar within the temple is to be kept holy, sanctified, and all of these things, and the wood on which the offering is being offered is to be the best. So in principle, we can see that Elohim really expects the best of us. So we, because we're more than one, we need to coordinate our efforts. That's why unity in the body of Messiah is very important, and the adversary know that, and his minions, his servants know that. So they do all they can to divide us with all sorts of ideas, unnecessary ideas that deviate from the truth or detract from what's necessary and important. So we must not do that. We must be circumspect. We don't need to follow the crowd. We need to be like Noah, right? How many were? Noah was one person, and he, and on account of him, his immediate family was safe. Was saved from the destruction of the flood, his wife, his three sons, and the wives of his three sons. Not many. Okay, so we must be like that. And I think there are, relatively speaking, there are many of us that are of the same mindset, that want to do just that. So that's why it's imperative for us to really make the effort to seek out others of like mind. The congregation of Elohim, or the Adah Elohim, the Kahal Elohim, needs to be united. It was divided for a long time, and so-called leaders who really don't want that unity, would make it seem like it's an impossible task to reunite. It's not. It's impossible to reunite things, at least humanly speaking, that don't belong together. Yes, that is true. So if we're trying to unite different religions together in the name of Yeshua, it will never happen, because He doesn't want that. And unity comes by Him and His Spirit. So He's never going to unite things that don't belong together. He's not going to unite commandment breakers with commandment keepers. But what He will unite is a repentant people, a people who love Him and give their hearts to Him, in spirit and in truth, to love the truth, not necessarily people that know everything and may necessarily agree in everything immediately, but a people that love Elohim with all their hearts, all their soul, all their mind, and love their neighbor as themselves. As a matter of fact, love their neighbor even as Yeshua demonstrated, and that we even love our enemies. So that's what Elohim will unite. And we need to make ourselves instruments of that unity. For whoever does not unite with Him is scattering. We have to remember that. So it's not enough to not be an instrument, an active instrument of consciously dividing people. But we must do far better than that. We must be conscious instruments of unity, where we're really going out, we're looking for those who match the criteria that Elohim sets, that those who love Elohim, those who wants to serve Him. We have to make that effort in this. The year just started. Today's the first day of Unleavened Bread. Let's make that effort, brethren, please. We can do it. Some will stay, some will go. But those that come that are of like mind, that love Elohim and love their neighbors themselves, that they're not concerned about dividing over differences of opinion, but rather the concerning about keeping the unity of the body as Yeshua prayed, and trusting in Yeshua and His Spirit to unite our hearts and our minds in what is true, to remove the veils or misunderstandings on how we see things, to unite our minds to see things the same way. His Spirit can do that. That's what His Spirit did for the first century disciples. Look through it, through the book of Acts. It's very clear. He did that for them. It's not that they automatically somehow of their own efforts came to understand things the same way. What they did, what they wanted to do and they were empowered to do, was to come together for the love of Elohim and the love of the brethren. And once they did that, the Spirit of Elohim taught them things together. And so they came to understand it together. One of the reasons that we do not understand things and we understand things so differently is because we go out and study on our own and come to conclusions on our own and not together as brothers and sisters. So if we err, or if another brother err in understanding, or sister errs in understanding about the same thing, there's never enough time to come together to discuss it in humility, to understand it. We don't regard our minds as being one, as to being one body. And so we have to find, to understand, it's important that we study in such a way that when we study, we don't study in an isolated way. We should be doing nothing isolated in the body of Messiah. When we don't have a choice, we don't have a choice. But when we have a choice, we need to. Because one of the things that causes this division is when we go do things on our own. The disciples did not do anything on their own. When it was time to learn a matter, they came together and learned it and came to an understanding. And they were patient with one another, bearing each other's burdens until all came to that same understanding. And this is the approach we must have, because it's important that we work. That's the, and I could honestly tell you, brethren, this is the most important undertaking we have now in our time. Maybe I'm just one voice saying it, maybe not. But this is the reunification of Elohim's body is the most important thing. It has been for a long time. Some just haven't realized it. Because all knowledge for the body, how of Elohim's Spirit ministering to us, will depends on that unity. He does not want a disjointed body. It's like we're struggling to fix, to know a whole bunch of things about Elohim and all of this. All those things are good. But when we're divided in Elohim's sight, what's important that we unite first. Then come and let's discuss what's his name or what's the calendar. Sometimes we need to talk about those things, but unity is the primary thing that we need to work on. Because once we are united in the sense that he wants us to, then, in that unity, His Spirit will work and reveal those things to us. Some things He will not reveal, because He already told us how to do it. But these things cannot be done for the body of Messiah until the body is united, because these are things that must be done at the same time. They can't be done at different times. Like this certain decisions have to be done at the same time with the whole body involved. Unless that's done, the body will continually be divided, because someone will make a decision on their own over there, somewhere else, and so it's going to continue to be divided. Some decisions for the body of Messiah, those who are, I'm going to use the word, leaders of various groups in different locations, they need to connect with the other leaders. And so, okay, we need to decide on this. Let's decide on this. What's the best that we know about this particular thing or that? Like, let's take the calendar. How can the body be united? It's not difficult to do that. The hardest part is for us to make up our minds individually, those who are leaders with the groups there. And the hardest part is for them to decide, okay, which method of the calendar is reasonable and whichever one they hold on to. Then they all come together with their various ideas of what the calendar is and discuss it. And when there is an impasse, it's so simple. The scripture tells us to cast lots in his name. That's how the, and this is one of the, this is one of the big decisions that need to be made that cannot be made with a scattered body, because the decision must be made for the entire body of Messiah. And for that to happen, the leaders need to be responsible and held responsible to do this, to come together. If they're not, then they will be left out. There has to be a time when the body of Messiah can say, okay, we have a decision to make, people. Let all the leaders that are commandment keepers, that are of like mind, now I'm not talking about Protestantism or any other ism now. I'm speaking about the faith once delivered to this. I'm talking about the commandment keeping faith. So whether you believe the calendar should be kept through the moons, or whether you believe it's a solar only or lunar, come together. Because in these things, there's an impasse. We cannot agree. So what needs to be done then is for these leaders to prayerfully and humbly come together and cast lots for the sake of the people. Because the die is cast, but the outcome is of Elohim, the scripture says. And also, we see all the way through the book of Acts, when Judas needed to be replaced. In Acts chapter 1, it shows us that how did they come? They had already received the Spirit on the day of first fruits when Messiah breathed and said, receive the Spirit, he told them back in the book of John, in Yohanan. So here in Acts chapter 1, we see what did they do? They came together and they agreed on which two were the best. They set a certain criteria that needed to be met, and they selected two. They had two, which they had an impasse about. In other words, both of these, they needed one disciple, but both in their eyes were qualified. Both were equally suitable to replace Judas. So how did they decide between the two? They did not vote. They cast the lot before Elohim. And the one on whom the lot fell replaced Judas. This was done in New Covenant time when the Spirit was already given. And those of us who have gone through the journey with us through the book of Acts, we've seen that there are times the Spirit will be very direct and tell us. And there are times the Spirit wants us to be engaged ourselves and follow the law and do certain things according to the law, as did the disciples there at that time to select the replacement of Judas. So that's what needs to be done for the calendar. And all things that are of an impasse, we need to select the best, in terms of the calendar, we need to select the calendars that best reflect what's in the scriptures, that do not contradict. Some of these ideas do contradict. You can see they will not match what's in the scriptures. Simple as that. So we don't need to count those. But all those that may, given certain situations, match what the scriptures say, we need to put those on the forefront. The leaders need to come together, put their heads together, put those on the forefront and cast lots. And they have to be committed before Elohim and said, Elohim, whichever one the lot falls on, we as a body will follow. That's a tall order for the flesh, for the carnal mind, for the proud. But it should be an easy task for those who are humble and truly given to Elohim. And one of the things we need to do, brethren, is pray for that to happen. And this is why I beseech us, let us come together to pray on Friday nights. And if Friday nights is not a good time, I've said we're open, tell us. And we'll move it to a time where it's more conducive for all of us to pray. Because we need to pray for these things to happen. And don't worry about those that don't come in, because those that will not join will be divisive. Are divisive in their mindsets. Because you see what happened in the account when there was the complaint about Aaron being a priest. How Elohim told them all those who were complaining to bring their staff. And it was a type of lot, you can say. They put all their staff there. And one budded. So Elohim, by showing that budding, one budded and bore almonds. And that was Aaron's. And he showed them that Aaron was the one he chose. But all people were expected to attend. So if the so-called leaders are serious and truly love Elohim, they will do that for the sake of the people. And the leaders that don't do this, there are false leaders. Because it's not a, they should have no issues coming forward. Whether or not they believe their idea of the calendar is the perfect one shouldn't matter. If it's the perfect one, let Elohim show that it's the perfect one through the lot. Because all the others, in the case of Aaron, thought they should have been leaders. Aaron was the true leader. He did not fail to put his rod in. So true leaders out there, if you're a true leader, let's get together, let's decide on this calendar issue, put it to rest so the people of Elohim can do it. And let's commit our minds and say, look, if Elohim, which whatever you choose among these that we've brought forward to you, we're going to cast this lot. And whichever one it is, we will keep it. That's how these simple things are done. I use the calendar just as an example, but that's how these matters are resolved when the Spirit of Elohim doesn't directly intervene, when the Spirit of Elohim does not immediately unify our hearts. How were the disciples supposed to choose between two candidates who were in all their understanding perfect for the job? How? They only needed one. They couldn't have 13 for Israel. Paul was an apostle, but he was for the Gentiles. It started with Peter, and then Paul continued on for a certain part, you know. So he needed 12, only 12 for Israel, but there were two. How do you pick? Of course, Elohim's spirit could have said, I want so and so, but he didn't. So they cast the lot. And that's what the body of Messiah needs to do. And those leaders that don't do this, they don't have faith. I'm sorry. Because this division among the people has been going on too long. And it's being caused by the leaders. Many of the people under these leaders want the unity. But the leaders keep them apart. Because they want to be, many of the leaders keep them apart because they want the money coming only to them. They don't understand that they could keep their money. Unity doesn't mean you need to lose your money if that's so dear to you. But those of us who love Elohim, we have no such concerns. We care about the honor of Elohim, and we want his people united. Because they are being detained under these leaderships that are dividing the people. It's not the people. It's those who call themselves their pastors, their ministers, their rabbis. Some should call themselves rabbi among the messianic community, which things should not be. Because our sovereign Yeshua said, you shall call no man rabbi. You shall call no man teacher. There's no excuse. Just because we teach doesn't mean we need to call ourselves a teacher. It doesn't mean that. I teach. I don't call myself a teacher. I've done healings, literal healings, where things were impossible and I laid my hands. Elohim used me to heal. I don't call myself a healer, nor do I say I have the gift of healing. But I say Elohim has had mercy to heal the person when I prayed. But everyone needs these titles, and all these are divisive tools of the enemy. And they cling to these titles. Why is the title necessary? So much that we're dividing the people. The love of money, the love of titles, and whatever else. Other than the love, foremost, the love of Elohim, and the love for the people of Elohim. And David was his servant because David had that same mindset. He loved Elohim, and he loved the people of Elohim. He was not seeking to honor himself. He was seeking no honor. When Israel were facing Goliath, all the honor seekers were fearful. David wasn't seeking any glory, but that of Elohim. He was indignant when he said, how dare you speak so? I'm paraphrasing against the Elohim of Israel. How dare you? And he had a zeal for Elohim, and Elohim knew it. Elohim could see the love in David's heart for him. And the spirit of Elohim went into David's body and flung that stone and struck that blasphemous giant down. Where is our zeal? We love everybody, but we can't keep this division going on. It's nonsense. It doesn't have to be. So we as a congregation have to speak like this. I'm not saying of my tone, but what I'm saying, this message we need to proclaim, that tell the leaders they need to come together because they're the ones keeping the people apart. They are. The people are not keeping themselves apart. I've went through many congregations, visited it, trying to unite brethren. You know who's always in the way? The so-called leaders. But when I speak with the members, they're all for it. They're all for it. So it's evil of these leaders to keep the people away. Because we're not saying to come and unite under any man's umbrella. But rather we're saying to come to unite in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in the name of Yeshua, where He's the leader and we're all fellow servants. But that's too much for some leaders. They have to be in charge and they have to have the control of the money that they're so lustful for. These things are not to be. This is the day of unleavened bread. And as our brother read from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what does it say? 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says what? Yeah, in verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? These ministers that are holding on to separating the sheep of Yeshua, these sheep should not be divided because you're afraid someone's going to steal your sheep. They're not your sheep. They're Yeshua's. And the people should not be divided as such. They should not be. Stop being afraid, leaders, and let Yeshua lead the people. The more you love Elohim and the more you love the sheep that's with you, the more they'll stay with you. You don't need to be afraid they're going to go to anybody else. Besides, Elohim is an congregation is organized. If we live in proximity of a true brother, a true sister who's leading, who's serving a flock, those in that area should stay with that leader. You don't go to miles apart because of a cult of personality to go serve under someone who's miles away from you when there's a brother or sister who's near you. These things Elohim do not want. That these are also causes of division. When we know there's a brother or sister near us that we could serve with, but we rather go miles away to someone else. That doesn't make any sense. Elohim is one. His body is one. We need to make those sacrifice the desires of our flesh and our carnal minds to do the things that are pleasing in Elohim's sight. So if we who are not leaders are in a certain state or in a certain city or town, and there is a brother near you who's serving in spirit and in truth, stay with that brother in your local area. It's good to visit other brethren. That helps keep the unity. But don't abandon what's in your local town to go to another town unless there's no one there. Yeah, if there's no one there, go to the next closest one to you. So people, this is how we need to do it. Leaders need to put their heads together with the others, even if they have differences of opinion, to prayerfully come to understanding, not scorning and tearing each other down as I've seen so much. That's evil. That's evil to do such a thing. That's contrary to the commandments of Elohim. Those who say they are Torah keepers and they're tearing each other down. I've seen it so much. And these things are evil. They need to stop. We who are here, the few, we can make an effort. I pray that this recording will be sent to as many as possible. They could hear it. That the body of Messiah need to hold those who are so-called their leaders responsible for dividing the body. They need to tell them, you need to work to unite the body. Elohim expects that of the body of Messiah. There are not many heads. There's one head. And that's Yeshua. If a leader think he or she is head, that person is not a servant of Yeshua. Because Yeshua is the head. If they think they're head, then they're blasphemous and they're speaking contrary to the one who is head. And one day they will face him and give an account of that. So what does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? That divisive spirit from the leaders flows into the members and keeps them divided, while the hearts of the few that are there that are seeking for unity pant after unity, but don't know where to go. That's not just. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Purge out the old leaven. Purge out this old division. Purge out all this falseness of these leaders called among the congregation of Elohim, the new covenant. I'm speaking to believers of Yeshua, those who are supposed to believe Yeshua died for our sins and rose again, so that we can have everlasting life. and receive the gift of His Spirit to be conformed to His image. These are the ones I'm speaking with. I'm addressing those that are supposed to be quote-unquote Nazarene or Christian. Now, we can't even say Christian anymore. We can't even say we're Christian anymore. The word Christian was used long before Protestants or any of these things. There's nothing wrong with being called a Christian. The word Christus was in the synagogues, was being said in the temple and other places long before Yeshua came in the Greek, because it was translated in the Greek. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. Of course, it's good to say Messiah or the elect one, but we should not frown on being called a Christian. If somebody doesn't want to, it's not a big deal. But let's not condemn those who are literally loving Elohim, loving their neighbor as themselves, keeping the commandments of Elohim, keeping them baptism pure, and call themselves Christians. It's not words. How many people are calling themselves Nazarene or whatever they want to call themselves, and they have not repented of their sins? They're living in fornication. They're tearing down their brothers and sisters. They're breaking the very Sabbath they say they keep, they should be keeping. They pollute the Passover, that they break the very laws of the Passover. But yet they think by saying something in Hebrew that makes... No, it's our actions, it's our hearts. That's what Elohim looks for. In the days of Yeshua, there were many Gentiles around them. I never heard Yeshua or the disciples once, there's no record of Yeshua once correcting someone about how to pronounce his name. I don't think all those foreigners necessarily knew how to pronounce Yeshua's name in the perfect Hebrew, necessarily. But I didn't hear him frowning upon them. So why do we do such things? Why? It doesn't make sense. Divisive, hateful spirit. It's not acceptable to Elohim. And they will give an account. All such people who are doing this, watch and see. This is from the congregation of Elohim that's in His hand. And we say to you, Elohim will bring all of these people down that are dividing people over Hebrew, that are tearing down those who are doing His will on account of words and names. Watch what their end will be. Because the servant of Elohim, their end will not be so. The servant of Elohim, when they go honorably. Elohim gave the covenant. They will not be inflicted with the problems that others have. They say they know His name, but by their deeds blaspheme His name, take His name in vain. Who is more honorable? The one that admits he doesn't know His name but loves Him and does His will, or the one who claims to know the name but yet curse, foul words are coming out of their mouths? Or they're fornicators, liars. Whoa, what's more important? It says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Where's the honor to Yeshua, who prayed, O Father, I pray that they may be one? Where is His honor? And those who dare call themselves by those various names they call them, trying to align themselves with Messiah, but yet dividing the people with their venom. Where is it? Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, of wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. What is wickedness? All the transgressions of Elohim's law. How we treat our neighbor, how we treat our sisters, how we treat the daughter of our brothers, our neighbors. Fornication is rampant among people, and they're calling themselves servants of Elohim. That's a lie. The people that would want to be in the congregation must keep their baptism pure. As a matter of fact, some are trying to teach that I've been baptized. You shouldn't be teaching unless you are baptized. And teaching error and dividing the people and coming to the wrong conclusions, they, for their own divisive reason, they don't get baptized. What is all that about? If you want to teach, repent of your sins, believe the good news, get baptized, then teach. Don't divide the people with your carnal thinking, because the Spirit will be upon those who listen. And when they are true, it manifests in their lifestyle. They do repent of their sins. All of them. They do overcome their sins. That's the primary sign of the Spirit. It's one, I should say, the primary sign of the Spirit is repentance and overcoming. Because so many of those people that are causing the division, look at their lives. They have not repented of their sins. Some of them are so-called pastors. They have been divorced, remarried. Some of them are cheating even on their spouses. What is all that about? Some of them, their houses are not in order. All of these are violations of the law of Elohim. A priest could not be a priest in the old covenant time. The priest, it didn't matter how good you were. If you had a broken nose, if you had any deformity, anything, you could not be a priest. It didn't matter how nice you were. So in the congregation of Elohim, a new covenant, leaders need to be the highest examples of righteousness, of repentance, of overcoming, of the power of the Spirit working of in their lives. Otherwise, they have no business calling themselves leaders. They're fleecers of the sheep and dividers of the people. And those that bring blasphemy to the congregation of Elohim, because they can do nothing for the people, because the Spirit of Elohim does not work through them. When there's sickness in the congregation, they can do nothing about it. Oh, go to the doctor, do this, do that. Wait a minute, that's your job, O elder. It's your job, O elder, to pray for the sick so that the sick will be healed, not maybe be healed. Stop lying to the people. It says, James chapter 5, verses 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name, in the authority of the Kurios, of the absolute ruler or Lord, as it's translated here. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Eternal shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. All these things are done now in that person's present life. Not when Yeshua comes. So it's very clear that healing will take place. Where is the healing? Oh, leaders, you who boast about being leaders and dividing the flock of Elohim, taking their money, buying your expensive cars and houses, while the people of Elohim are divided as sheep, scattered. That's not just. Repent, leaders. Be unleavened. Put away the old leaven of malice, wickedness, and put on and be unleavened, the pure bread of sincerity, sincerity and truth. Are you sincere, leaders out there? Are you sincere? Elohim will judge you for what you've done to his people, for what you continue to do. Repent while there is still time. Because the way you go will test, he will testify, he will show you to your faces, leaders out there that are dividing his people. He will show you to your faces that you were not his, and you were instruments of division rather than unity. Hear, O Israel, the Eternal, our Elohim, the Eternal is one, and his body is one. So, brethren, we need to unite, because this is the day of the pure bread, which represents Messiah's body. It's not divided by leaven. It has nothing leaven in it. It's pure. And the body of Messiah needs to be pure. I have in front of me a piece of paper ready, typed up, that I was supposed to teach. But that's not what Elohim wanted me to teach. What I typed up was not what Elohim wanted me to teach. I taught what his Spirit led me to teach today. The need for the unity of the body of Messiah. The need for the leaders to hold themselves accountable and humble themselves before Elohim for the unity of the people, to fix the problems they've created. The leaders need to fix the problems they've created in dividing the people of Elohim. And it takes humility and the Spirit of truth and sincerity to do this, which we very, very much need. What else can I say? Pray for it, brethren, those of us that are here. We're not perfect. This is not a call for people to pretend to be perfect. No, It's a call for us to understand the truth about ourselves, to have genuine faith, pure faith, so we can look at ourselves in the book, in the requirements of Elohim, to see our shortcomings, to be humble and ask Him to purify us of any failings. For these leaders to purify themselves in Elohim, in Yeshua, through the blood for real. Or humbly step down and let the one in their midst who is more qualified, who has truly repented, to do the job, to be instruments of unity. For the body, as I said, Elohim is one, and His body is one, truly one. He expects us to speak the same thing. He expects us to love Him. How do we do that? By ourselves? No. How could the carnal mind love? He does that when we understand that we need to love Him, and we confess that we don't love Him, and we ask Him, oh Elohim, make me know You, make me love You. Make me love my neighbor. I've gone through so much in my life, whatever the reason may be. I don't love too well. I've been abused. I've been this. I've been there. All sorts of reasons that make me not so loving. It's okay. We understand. And He understands. Pray to Elohim to make you that loving person you need to be. Pray to Elohim to make you sincere. Because I tell you the truth. These leaders that have heaped their money and value their money, their titles, their prestige, whatever it is, more so than the love of Elohim and the love and unity of the body of the people, they will give an account. And they will not go well. That will be a testimony of Elohim's word. Watch and see how these leaders go. And watch those that are being blessed in the Spirit. Watch. Watch those that are giving you testimony, verifiable testimony, that they've laid hands on the sick and they heal the sick. Look for the testimony of those who have truly repented of their sins, who are living right, who are being the light, the brightest light in the community of belief. These are the ones that should be leaders, not how much they know. And they know so much that they know nothing. And you ask them, I don't know. Scholars, well, I think scholars say this. I think scholars say that. No, the congregation is supposed to be the pillar of truth. And the leaders of it should know the truth. Shouldn't be that you can't give an answer. When you can't give an answer, that shows you Elohim has not anointed you as a leader. You should know the answer. That's the testimony of the scriptures. So stop, let us not be deceived, those of us, and may those leaders stop deceiving themselves. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, not with the old yeast, neither with the yeast or leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I stop here, brethren. Thank you for listening.